Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to The Awakening, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I am V, the preacher, and this is a day that the Most High has made. And truly, we're blessed to be aware of our surroundings and our circumstances, prophetically, spiritually, scripturally. We're living in some prophetic times being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. They can try and censor and suppress the information all they want. There's one thing they can't censor, and that is the revelatory aspect of this Bible, these scriptures, these holy scrolls that depict the sojourn of the people, but also tell us what has transpired, what is happening, and what is to come. The news you're looking at is not the news. The news you want to learn about is what we're going to discuss and talk about today, as we do every Sabbath, seventh day of rest, where we refresh our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and try and connect with our Creator, the Most High, and make sure that we come out of her, the world, my people, on this particular day where we don't participate in society. We don't spend our coins that the Most High gave us on this day. We don't worry about cooking and news and gossip. And we separate ourselves. That's been Kodesh. That's set apart. That's sanctified, and that's holy. And Yah only asks that at least, you know, every day we should strive to be that way, but at least this one day, give me an all-out effort to worship me and to keep this day holy, to make it Kodesh. Let's get ready to go before our Abba in prayer. Let somebody know that the lesson is about to get started. As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thank you for this time. Bless our brothers and sisters to the four corners of the earth with wisdom and understanding, and enduring Holy Spirit, Ruach, power. Set them free and let them be deliverance. The type of deliverance that will cause us to persevere, endure, and strive to the finish line. The courage and the ability to forget those things that are behind us and press toward tomorrow to obtain this pride that you have for us. I pray that faith is increased today. Faith comes by the hearing of your word, not philosophical viewpoint. Be careful to give your name all the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Yeshua.
Welcome back. I am the preacher. You're tuned in to what is now known as the Awakening, previously known as Blueprint for Life, but we're still always in conversation and discussion about what is the blueprint for life. And Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes 13 and 12 that at the end of the day, the whole duty of man is to fear the Most High and keep his commandments. Don't let nobody ever tell you that these commandments were done away with. You cannot be a part of a kingdom if you do not abide by its rules, its constitutions, its laws. That's what makes you a citizen. Not just willy-nilly, you come here and do whatever you want. That will have you in jail, standing in a court, will have you ostracized and deported. You come here, even Paul said it, when in Rome, I do as the Romans. Well, if you're going to be in Yah's kingdom, you're going to do the part of the kingdom that was written by his very finger, which is actually stored in the Ark of the Covenant. And that's those holy tablets that have those Ten Commandments, which are the moral law. And the title of this lesson today is Demoralization, which we are seeing on a high scale. We're going to be discussing demoralization a little bit later. We're going to break it down and get involved in it. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the kingdom is inside of you. But the kingdom can't dwell inside of you if you're not obeying the laws to the point where you're not transgressing the law, which is sin. Sin is transgression of the law, 1 John 3 and 4. So when we keep these laws, we keep kingdom inside of us. We honor, we respect. So it's not only you honoring the temple, but honoring the kingdom that is inside of you. We are so fortunate, unlike many people, to have the Ruach living in us. Yeshua went away so that he might send his spirit. But we're going to get into these scriptures a little bit later. Normally, I like to do a little treatise on the sojourn of our people, the original Hebrews, because this lesson is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association Facebook page. If you type that in, you'll go and you'll find out a lot of history. We're dedicated and committed to, in the midst of this awakening, and this is the Awakening series, in the midst of this awakening, we are committed and dedicated to restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. The heritage has been stolen. History has been changed. It's been subverted. And we're bringing it back because it's a part of the awakening to go get back into your rightful position of your heritage and culture. Your culture is not a certain type of food, which they like to relegate you to, chicken and watermelon or hip hop or Sunday church or big hats. That's not your culture. That's something that was steeped on you as you try to acclimate yourself to a new society called America. And other different countries too, where we're scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. Now, your culture has been spoken of and what has been hidden from you inside the Bible, which you've been taught is a religious artifact when it's really a history book, a Hebrew history book that depicts the sojourn of a people and encompasses and inculcates their spirituality. It's inside this book. The type of spirituality you should have, not seeking man-made religions, other countries and races' religions. You're looking and searching for everything that's right here in front of your face, and it's something we must come back to because that's how you discover your culture. You don't hold on to the traditions of men. I know what mama used to do, grandmama, great-grandmama, but this was something that was taught, beaten into them that they had to learn as we tried to reform and restructure a new culture in the captive land that we found ourselves in, no matter where it was. But we're bethinking ourselves in these strange lands and awakening to the fact of who we really are, and we're starting to see the falsity of everything around us. So you get an opportunity to just scroll through the page. because when one loses his culture, he intrinsically loses his spirituality. And what you thought was your spirituality was not your spirituality. And now your spirituality is under attack because Satan is coming out with an all-out abandonment. And what they call the pineal gland is actually the seat of the soul. And they've been trying to calcify pineal glands for years to get you to lose your spiritual perception and get you to be zombified. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We got a lot of information to cover prophetically on what's going on in our world and in our land. So let me finish up with this, the BCRA. You can support the page there. Any donations, because our endeavor is to educate our children and to also educate our men. We have we're not neglecting the sisters. There are many platforms out there that are talking to our sisters to bring them back to their place and prominence. And we do get into it from time to time here as well. But there's a lot of attention being focused on our sisters, and rightfully so, because they have a place and they need to know how to operate in that office so that we are complete as Israel. And we have to be complete from the father to the mother, to the children. And I sincerely say from the bottom of my heart, I'm praying for every one of you as I pray for myself and my family for what's happening with your children, that generation, what they're being subject to. We weren't subject to all these things when we were kids. Media, internet, television, sexuality. I mean, before you even reach your teens, kids are being subject to sexuality. And it doesn't make sense. Not even able to go outside and play anymore. My prayers go out because it's really going to take the Ruach and the Most High to be able to help us with our children. And let's not be selfish. Each one, reach one, teach one, takes a village. Believe it or not, you can't reach your child, but the Most High will send an angel, someone to come and minister something to them that they need to hear based upon your prayers. So I want you to take courage today. Because many have entertained angels unaware, and that can happen with your children too. It's not always just someone trying to kidnap them and swap them away. It's just that they often don't want to hear their parents. But the Bible said, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. So there's an assault on all angles of our culture and our people, and we're looking at the wrong things and looking for the wrong things. We can't look for holidays and reparations. We've got to look for who we are as people, what happened to us, and search for the Most High. It's time to come back to proper spirituality. We're going to get into that. So anytime you can go to this page, you'll learn a lot of information and history about who we really are as a people, what this Bible is about, what these other religions, Egyptology and Islam, what they're all about and their origins and how they detracted us, how Christianity is so deeply immersed in our culture now and how it started. We talked about that last week, and the Roman Catholic Church that gave the edict to Spain to go ahead and enslave, persecute, and kill our people if they didn't convert to Christianity, and how we ran into Islam, ran into other countries. We find, we've been looking at a book called The View of the Hebrews by Ethan Smith. We find confirmation, which is also in our Holy Scriptures, 2 Ezra 13, that the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, actually scattered all over the place prior to the southern tribe, Judah, going into the transatlantic slave trade. So we were the indigenous of lands throughout this great diaspora. I'm talking about Australia, Asia, Alaska, America, South America, the Bahamas, those islands. And then we started mixing races, spirituality, worships, a lot of it forced upon people. And that is a problem today due to the effectiveness of the Willie Lynch letters. Fear is still the catalyst for them pushing all of their programs and their mind programming and their, you know, these meetings they have, Bilderberg, G17 summit, and all these meetings, pushing their agenda. They are successful through us operating in fear, which is false evidence appearing real. And everything has been false, which is why there's a universal awakening, because we're realizing that we've been lied to. And throughout history, all of the indigenous people's history has been erased. And we know who's the father of lies. The same cat in Isaiah the 14th that said, I will be worshipped and I will be just like the Most High. And he's trying to accomplish that through technology and artificial intelligence. And the scripture tells us that Satan is the father of lies. The Most High Yah does not tell a lie. It's amazing how in the Christian church they would tell you that they would try to be, it's blasphemous too. They would try and tell you that the Most High was lying when he created the commandments and then took them away. Oh, that's all right. You don't need those no more. That would falsify, negate the effectiveness and power of it in the Old Testament as well. He's omniscient. He wouldn't do something and not know that he would need to change it later, because he's omnipotent and omniscient. When will we start to use common sense that Yah has given us and see things for what they are and realize they don't make sense? When he says something and sets it in order, it stays the same, because he knows the end from the beginning. He's omnipotent and omniscient. He wants to see what you're going to do with what he already told you. When he speaks, the Most High, he speaks once, and it's up to you to be obedient. But out of fear, you doubt it. And we become disobedient and begin to follow the lusts of our flesh, because we're in an illusory environment, the matrix, and we believe more of what we can see than what we can't see. So it's important for us to come back to the knowledge and the culture. So we're going to get into this series when we come right back, just a brief break. Black Cultural Restoration Association on Facebook. The website may still be up, which is bcra400.com. And in the near future, we will be providing conferences, even if it has to be Zoom conferences for now, to begin to educate our people. And one of the areas of education, as I mentioned, will be for our children. Many people don't know what they should be telling their children. You can't stop at Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. And you can't start within the 400 years of captivity. You got to go way beyond that to the Moorish period, to the time when the king and queen of that empire up there in Britain were people of color. King James, that's right. You've got to go into the Spanish Inquisition, the Dark Ages, the Renaissance period. And then most importantly, we have to teach our kids, which is the title of the conference, Fifth Commandment, honor your mother and father, because this is the only commandment with a promise to the children. Honor your mother and father that your days might be long upon the earth. This is an explanation for a lot of premature death, because we're in a untoward generation that looks down upon their pedigree, their people, because they're being demoralized. And we're going to get into it. It's the way that society has structured them through subverting, subliminal education, cognitive dissonance, and things beyond their control. There's so many things coming at our children from so many different angles. They don't have the defense mechanism to handle it. And the churches have failed the communities, the black families, and our children. And there's so much sexual perversion now and demonic spirits that have tainted the adults, the preachers, the teachers, who have become pedophiles, and the children who are sexualized. In order to maintain our culture and our community, we have to strengthen our babies too, because they will be the ones to take care of us and carry on. because we must occupy until Yeshua breaks through the clouds. He said, occupy till I come. Look up. Look for me. Seek me. But don't stop moving, working, repopulating, teaching, telling my people what to do, which is why this new series we're going into is called Do the Work. And this is part one of Do the Work, because we have to work. Do the work. So we want our babies to understand that they must uphold their culture by upholding their elders and be willing to give audience to the gray-headed, because they didn't get to that age easily and for no reason at all. There was some wisdom there, and a lot of demons conquered along the way. And we must revitalize one another and re-educate. And let's not say it's hopeless and throw our hands up, because even our elders see one of their children coming up with a hoodie on, they cross the street and run from their own people, because we've allowed these Zionist Jews media to cause us to believe that our culture is hopeless. When we hear about the shootings and watch these movies, we're about bad as Becky, Bob, and Kate presuppose how we're going to be when we open our mouth and how we're going to carry ourselves. So we're breaking up the presupposition by strengthening our young people, and maybe we can avert some of the killings, because guess what one of the commandments is as well outside of the fifth commandment? Thou shall not kill, and thou shall not commit adultery, and then idolatry and covetousness, which is deeply immersed in the culture. Ever since the bling bling word came out and lifestyles of the rich and famous started this culture of this hedonistic, lustful culture. And there's a phrase known as comparative self-worth that has been put upon us through Facebook, because we like to see how many followers we have and how many likes we're getting and the numbers. That stuff is all false anyway. There's an algorithm, artificial intelligence, that's blocking and depending and deciding who's seeing what you post, what you say anyway. There's even another thing I just learned about called shadow banning, which will give you the deception, thinking that you're being heard and you're being seen, but they're blocking the traffic, and the algorithm is keeping people from being drawn to your information. So what we're doing right now is we're even broadcasting by faith, because I know that scripture said the Most High watches over his word to perform it, and he gives the increase. So if he wants it heard, it will be heard outside of any of man's science and algorithms, because Satan may be the prince and power of the airwaves, but he can't do nothing until he checks with Yah, except Yah permits it. And we know that from Job, the first chapter. When you keep these commandments, you got a hedge of protection around you. So with our babies, we can't come from the biblical Christian religious church perspective, because they ain't trying to hear it. So we'll get them deeply immersed in the culture, but not the one that America's preaching of who we were as a people, why we are here as a people, and what will befall us as a people. Because all you have to do is look around you and see how great you are as a people. And not to, you know, omit anyone or any other race, you're welcome, because we're some of the most loving, caring people, and we allow you to steal our culture every day. And it's because he placed us here to be teachers, to set trends. But the most important trend we're supposed to be setting is the priesthood, so that these other people can be grafted in. Because we got love, because we're so tolerant of the crap you've put us through. because we're so resilient, because we're made in his image. So what we're supposed to teach you is the priesthood. But if I'm not teaching my babies, what are they going to teach the next generation and the other ones that want to be grafted in? They're teaching them the wrong things that they're being told they are. And you're not one to wear sags and have a lot of followers and have bodies as a girl. How many men you've taken down and brought in your bed, that makes you a hoe. And it makes that man a hoe too, because Bible tells us that when two lay down with each other, those two become one. So you become schizophrenic, disenfranchised, if you slept with a bunch of people. It's like an overblown transformer. Your spirit can only take so much. Which is why we need deliverance, patience, and love. Let's not come out of a standpoint of anger. So we'll be coming at the babies. It's called the fifth commandment. Honor your mother and father doesn't start or stop inside the home. It means all your elders in the street. All of your elders, as it used to be. You can get a spanking by a neighbor across the street. They saw you doing something that wasn't right, because we had to take care of our nation and our race. So we're going to get back to it. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into this topic, because it's time to do work. And we're going to cover this demoralization in the midst of this awakening, because I'm trying to make sure that we all, by grace, by faith, can make it in to that new Mount Zion. Preacher, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association here on Blog Talk Radio. We are living in interesting times, to say the least. We're moving into a new series called Do the Work, and I am captivated by this title because it needs to really be pushed and talked about, because we're heavily distracted. There's deflection all around us. And we know that instead of being gripped by fear and in shock, wondering what's going to happen to us, we should be helping our fellow man. And scripture told us, because there's a lot of race baiting going on. And trust me, by me thinking about my community first and foremost, that has nothing to do with race baiting. That's important. And I'm not with that BLM stuff. And last week you found out I'm not with the Juneteenth stuff, because we weren't even asking for a holiday. That just popped up out of nowhere. They were working on that last year. There was a method to the madness with the Floyd. Statues were already ready to be put in place. This has all been a ruse. Y'all asking for reparations and they gave you a holiday. And that holiday is nowhere in the Bible. Most High gave us holy days. But we talked about that last week. What I'm going to do is follow peace with all men, because holiness without, no man will see the Most High. And as I've made clear in the beginning of the lesson, holiness is being separate, being kodesh, being separate. Stick with me for a second. How do I become separate? By being different. Am I talking about individuality? No, because some people in this world have taken that too far. With the purple hair, green hair, the crazy clothes, the shoes. I'm trisexual. I'm a queer. I dress this. I like this music. I do this. They're trying too hard to be some alien. No, the separation, kodesh, holy, is to adhere to a sanctified lifestyle that was given to us in Torah from the Most High for our culture as being Hebrews. And this lifestyle should be what we dictate to all those around us, because we've been put here. We're the only ones given the oracles, the commandments. They try to tell y'all in the Matrix, y'all want, you know, how to live in this grid, take the red pill, and the Oracle, you've seen that was even a black woman in the Matrix, but I digress. Separating yourself is adhering to set standard and laws. There's nothing in life where you don't learn how to become something before you become it. You must be trained. I just still don't know how we were duped and fell into the lies that we can live by grace and we don't have to do any works. It's already been done. Live any kind of way, because he paid it all. What the hell? No. No. Yeshua said this world hated me, so you know they're going to hate you. But he also told us to count it all joy. And I'm coming to you today because everything you're involved in is illusory. But they want your joy to be illusory. And the method to the madness is that you have to look at what's around you and still find joy and peace. And where do you find that? These scriptures teach us that he will give us a peace that passes understanding. Why would it pass understanding? Because I'm not in fear for my life right now to make me want to run to a doctor and get a shot because of what you're putting on the media, on TV. I got an acronym for you too, for media. Let's look at that. I had to post this the other day. Brother was wearing a t-shirt. It said, media, most effective demon in America. Why? Because demons operate on frequencies. This is why I was saying that the Satan is coming at our children from so many angles. They can't figure this out. So we have to tell them with patience and love. You are now connected to artificial intelligence if you've been jabbed. Because of all those ingredients and the magnetification and the nanoparticles that are inside that jab that's inside your body. You will now forever be dependent upon a booster shot, a jab, and one every year until your transhumanism is complete. You're one with the machine. And this was prophesied in the scriptures that iron and clay can't mix, but they're going to try to mix. Unfortunately, as I said last week, you relegated your salvation to an injection and walked away from the salvation given to you from Yah through his son, Yeshua. That wasn't enough for you, so you took confidence in science. When Paul told Timothy, beware of oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And now that's all you hear. And you can't go back to that scripture telling you to watch out for the science. So now, through the demoralization, which we're going to get into, we're dealing with situational depression. And as a people, we've dealt with situational depression throughout these 400 years of us running and other captivities. You can call it PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and then the Woolly Lynch syndrome, but I also call it disobeying Yah. And Deuteronomy 28 warns you that if you disobey me, this is what's going to come on you and your people. So with restoring culture, I'm trying to bring forth deliverance to our people and snap the cycle, which is doing the work. And what is the importance and relevance of that? We'll get into it in a second. Check this out. Situational depression is not a chemical or physiological or psychological imbalance. It's a state of sadness from a series of traumatic events that happen over and over and over. You feel you can't get out. And that's where we are now. Even with this pandemic, we feel like we're trapped in this world. Nothing's going to change. Nothing will be better for our people. So we walk around with this situation of depression, which causes us to live fearfully. And then the ones that don't have fear, they're still scared, but they're trying to act like they're just living haphazardly and serendipitously and just cavalier, and you only live once, and I'm just going to party all the time, and we're going to turn up every night so that we can block out the fear and the situational depression. So what we're going to do is assist Satan, this government, and this world in the demoralization of our lives. And we're going to lose morality because we don't want the morality of the commandments anymore. That's done away with. And then you start to blaspheme and doubt, does Yah exist? And he's sitting back watching, like, not only have they lost their spirituality, now they're losing their belief in me. Trust in him is gone. It's pathetic that the church was jabbing people instead of doing communion on Sunday. Instead of you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will cast out demons in my name. You will lay hands on the sick. Instead of all that happening, and Mark 9, these kind come out through fasting, meaning sicknesses and demons. So the confidence is lost in the church spirituality. Don't you think our kids are going to go to church on Sunday? When the pastor's trying to get girls to come in his office and twerk for him? Or he's going to the strip club? I'll never forget that night I heard a group of bishops out of a full gospel church all Saturday before that Sunday went to a strip club in another city, buying each other lap dances, and then get up preaching and asking for $1,000 offering lines and taking your hard-earned money, telling you you're going to get something in return. You'd have been better off in Vegas. Demoralization is a psychological state characterized by helplessness. Now you see how demoralization and situational depression goes hand in hand. It's a sense of failure and the inability to cope. Everybody just throwing in the towel. So the demoralization is the constant inculcation and pushing of an agenda and fear, and you're going to die. So now that everybody thinks they're going to die, they've walked away from salvation. And the scripture said, what did the scripture say? Mark 8 and 35 said this, Matthew, Mark, let's get it. I expect to go here so fast. Mark 8 and 35. Where are you at? It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, that same shall save it. Now let's go to the first part of that scripture, Mark 8:35. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. This is what's happening with everybody running to get a jab. Out of fear, you're trying to save your own life. So you're like, I'm going to put on a raincoat even though it's not raining just to stay dry in case the rain comes. And that's foolishness. So you've decided to take situations in your own hand based on fear, which is of the devil, and you're trying to save your life. And the scripture clearly tells you, in doing so, you've already lost your life. But the one who loses his life saying, I'm not in control, what does it mean in the second part where it says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake? That means like saying, I die to Christ. I'm dead to the world, and I give my life to Christ. He's the landlord. He has the deed. That means I don't have to worry about the energy, the electric bill, the power, the maintenance. He's taking care of me. He's got me the maintenance of my own body, the fighting of disease. He gave me an immune system. I was born in shape and in iniquity, but when I received him, got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I am no longer of my own. I am dead in Christ, because dying in Christ, which was the symbology of your baptism, when you died, you came up out that water, a new person saying, I'm done with the world. Then you were a candidate for the Holy Spirit, and with the Spirit living in you, you've got the kingdom inside you. So you're dead to the flesh, but alive in Christ. But when you don't want to die to the flesh and be alive in Christ and take your own life into your own hands and start listening to man, white coats, and the science, you're dead already. I'll pray for you. Demoralization and situational depression has caused people now to not even be able to find the joy and peace. We're living in a fool's paradise, and it's a wise man's hell. So the frequencies are now, you've seen these videos of magnets and metals sticking to people's foreheads and chests, and you think it's not the chip and the beast within the forehead and within the wrist. I'm not going to get into that today because I want to teach and preach. Health is wealth. On Wednesdays, I talk more about what's really happening physiologically. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I will say this, the frequencies. I got pissed off just yesterday because Google sent me a brand new modem. It was already turned on. It looks like a speaker. And tomorrow, we'll give you free internet for a month. They're some of the biggest demons in the world that are doing surveillance on us, because we're getting close to the time they want to know what's going on in everybody's house with your flat screen TV, your modem, your internet, all that stuff. I threw that thing out. Nothing is free. Things that are being that are free right now are for your enslavement. The jab, modems, come on, nobody's crazy. Nobody's crazy about what happened in Florida either. I tell you people, you're living amongst some demons that don't give two squats about you. The only one who cares is the one you're going to have to believe in and have faith, which is Yeshua, one who was willing to die for you. These machines are changing frequencies from 50 gigahertz to 600 gigahertz. And in July, 5G will be turned up and ramped up. Now that you've been magnified through the metals and polyethylene glycol that was in the jab and the magnetic nanoparticles that are reworking all of your genes and cells and killing your God-given immune system, you will respond to the frequencies that these demons ride on a whole lot easier, which is why we're seeing people snapping like crazy, people shooting at people every day, and it's just began. And it's going to intensify as they turn it up and you continue to get your boosters. So you're going to need divine protection. And I'm trying to teach you how to have that today. dying to self in the flesh. Where's the scripture I want? 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 and 9. Let's look at that scripture real quick. Be ye faithful unto death, people. Do the work. 2 Peter 2 and 9 says this. The Most High knoweth, our Elohim knoweth, how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He's going to keep some alive that are going to be punished, and the remnant who are keeping the commandments. That's the only way you can be godly, which is to be holy, Kodesh. He knows how to protect you. So I don't tell you about these things that out of fear. I want you to not be ignorant, because Hosea 4 and 6 tells us that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want you to know what the game plan is, and then step back and stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have been made free, and realize that I'm not going to let this overtake me. But you got to grow up and lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily mess you up, beset you. That pet sin that you have, you've got to take measures to get that pet sin away from you, because it is the catalyst for your destruction. Now, I don't say these things to be in fear, because I'm giving you hope through 2 Peter 2 and 9 that he's saying, I will take care of you. I got you. Financially, with the evictions that are coming up and the foreclosures. And they're going to repeal that law and make you pay. He's like, I got you. You've got to trust in me. So I'm letting you know that this is not the hour to doubt and move out of fear and seek a false government, a satanic government, and a man-made jab to save you. This is the time where you have to step up your game now and do the work and come back to the morals that he has established, which is the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Come on, what is this going to do for you, all of the lust and the dating and passing around sex partners? Now, check this out. There are tons of venereal diseases they're not telling you about, that the percentages have gone up. People are swapping that. But now the spike protein is involved in your DNA and your saliva and your emitting juices that you're swapping. So now you're swapping death and disease. And set up to fail. And also there's something inside that little jab that's sterilizing our children. They're seeking for depopulation, sterility. It's going to take a miracle from Yah, and we have the power. Trust me, he gave it to us. He said, greater works shall you do. Yeshua said, we're going to do greater works than him. And I believe that hour is coming where we're going to see it again, because a lot of y'all lost your faith and started following society and man. Right after church went and got the jab. What was that church for? It's a motivation rally, and the motivation quickly left when they turned off the power, the musicians got off the instruments, and the pastor left like Elvis, has left the building. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Got a lot of scriptures today. We're also going to the pseudepigrapha. You got to go online to pull up the pseudepigrapha. Those are more lost books. Other than the Apocrypha, oh my God, there's so many holy scrolls and scriptures that they have taken away from us during Spanish Inquisition captivities, Roman, Persian, Babylonian, Egyptian. They would always storm the temple and take our books. And you know what? No one was permitted to open the holy scrolls but us to read to the people. The Vatican has our scrolls in their basement. So the pseudepigrapha has a lot more books, and we're going to read from the pseudepigrapha at the end of the lesson, Second Baruch. We're going to be in Second Baruch in the pseudepigrapha. Give you time to pull it up. Let me read Ephesians 6. You already know what it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Ahayah and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of Hashatan. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me pause. You hear it all the time, but I'm going to say it again. Stop looking at the person and what they said, what they did. These demonic frequencies have access to these portals, these people, these bodies now. And half the times they're saying and doing things to get to you, to deflect your spirit, demoralize you, destroy you, and get you to react in a fleshly manner. And we know we can't do anything if we respond in the flesh. We can only please Yah by being in the spirit. So you've got to know that the frequencies and demons inside these people recognize that there's something in you when you're trying to live right. And they're not going to like you because they are shackled. An imprisoned man don't like looking at a free man walking outside his bars. He envies him to the point of hating him. Inmates look outside of windows and envy a free man. A sick and dying man will look at children playing in the park and envy them. You're not dealing with the person anymore, and it's been ramped up. When you put an aborted fetal cell and pharmakia and metals and artificial intelligence through a stick into someone, you've accepted that demonology. And when you see those numbers about the percentages of people that have done it, you should get concerned and go on your knees in prayer. Because now you are really in a Game of Thrones. Every science fiction movie you ever saw, you are living in it, buddy. And if you don't increase your spiritual life and have some power with Yah through your consistency and ability to be moderate and vigilant and sober, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. And everybody's going along with the crowd now. Ephesians 6, 11, 12. And we left off at 12. We're not wrestling against some person that you see, but it's the principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you can't see in the spirit that there's wars going on all around you, and they're up high in different atmospheres. Another person on the airplane tried to open up the cockpit and open up the emergency door, and they had to tackle him. Four British Airways pilots got the jab and died. They could have been flying the plane. Nobody would have been able to bring the plane in. Vacation spot. Energy weapon. Called HARP. Places decimated. Definitely demolition explosions. But if you weren't led by the Most High, you could have been there because it's a beautiful place. In Florida on vacation and got one of those rooms. If you don't navigate spiritually through this terrain, no, you won't survive. But if you stay connected spiritually by doing the things required of you by Yah, then he told you in Psalms 91 that you were going to see 1,000 fall at your left and 10,000 at your right, but none of these plagues will come nigh your dwelling. You'll be fine. Because why? The first part of Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a secret place. And the secret place is people. Let me tell you what the secret place is. It's Matthew's sixth chapter. When you go into your prayer closet and nobody sees you, and the time you're spending with Yah because he said, if you seek me early, you'll find me. And he said, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this, in Matthew 6, he said, don't do it in front of people, because when you do it in front of people, it's Matthew 6, that's your reward. But when you do it secretly, in secret, in your closet, I will reward you openly. And people will look at you and hate on you, but you don't care because you're not doing it for show. We're not living for earthly rewards. We're living to make it to the new heaven and new earth. So what is the secret place in Psalms 91? It's the secret relationship you have with your Abba, your Father, Yah, that you talk to him. You don't just say the Lord's Prayer. You cast your cares on him. You cast your burdens on him, knowing that he cares for you. You read his love letters called the Holy Scripts. And you make this your joy, your peace, your sanctuary. And this comes with an insurance, policy. So with the frequencies, 5G's turning up next month, y'all. There's going to be a lot of sickness and death. Radiation and cancer, different things. And I want you to be prepared to not lose focus, because we already read that he knows how to protect the remnant of his people. And he's even going to save some of these heathens for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9. And let's not forget what we read, Mark 8:35. You can't save your life. You think you can. We're just trying to live a better quality of life when we scarf down thousands of vitamins all day. We're changing the quality of our lives. But he knows our end from the beginning. And we just go through life, try not to think about it, and enjoy our lives. But the best quality of life comes through enhancement of spirituality. Because the flesh is decaying. It won't stop decaying until our Savior comes back. And guess what? The curtain is about to open. Because the World War III has already been propped and set up. And the confusion has caused enough demoralization where people don't even know where they are. And we're going to get into some scriptures that are going to talk about that. Let's go to some of these other scriptures. 1 Kings 22:17. Bear with me. I have to jump back a little bit. Listen to this. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Most High said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. No more masters. Isn't that amazing? We're scattered. Your dependence on your Sunday church has dissipated. Pastors have been false. They went into hiding during the pandemic and then forced you to move by fear and get something that's trying to destroy you physically. And then do you see the scripture saying, just return to your home? This is what transpired, brothers and sisters, on the original Passover. Most High said, go in your house and let the blood be over your doorstep. Because there are things transpiring, but you'll cover, you'll be protected by my blood, by the blood of the Lamb. So we're scattered. Prophets have prophesied falsely. You were in a word of faith church, prosperity movement for years. Nothing prepared you for where you are now and what's happening in society. They had you naming it and claiming it, which was a form of hypnotism and witchcraft. It was a new age teaching that you were under. Faith was being lost. You fell into traditions of men and the bondage of religion and lost your relationship because you became idolatrous and covetous. And then once you were liberated by trying to destroy the law and say, I don't have to do any works. Tell that to Brother James. Jeremiah, tell that to James, the book of James, that you don't have to do works. And then go to Revelation 22:14, and you see that those that do his commandments will walk into the gates to that new kingdom. So it requires something. This is so prophetic in First Kings because there are many people who have said, I have not been able to go to this church, but I'm waking up and I found truth. And now I realize I've been serving Yah the wrong way. And that's a beautiful thing, is that some people are finding a real spiritual relationship in this hour. And some are just thrown in the towel. Let's look at let's go to Psalms 58, 1 through 11. I love it how people stop by, listen to the broadcast 5-10 minutes and then keep it pushing. This world ain't got no patience. Well, nobody sit up and want to be taught and learn. On this day, we and my family, we honor the Sabbath and we try to listen to all the lessons we can listen to, read the Bible, because it's the only thing that's going to carry us through and help us to get through. Oh, Lord. Inside your house, 58:1, do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O you sons of men? Yea, in your heart ye work wickedness, ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. Now listen, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. They come out the womb telling lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. And listen to David's prayer. Break their teeth, O Yah, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. This is how you should be at home praying as you're looking at these two wings, Democrat and Republicans, and the evil they have for you people, for our people, and for this world, how they're trying to become globalists and depopulate the entire planet and sterilize and destroy people because they came out of the womb wicked. A part of the work is for you to pray in this aspect. Let them melt away as waters, verse 7, which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces, as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away, as with the whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a Yah that judges in the earth. This is what we're coming into. This is how you should pray. And you should look at verse 9 and see that he's going to take them away. Now, you don't want no rapture. I already taught on that. Go in the archives. When it says one shall be taken and the other left, well, they twisted it as Satan does and put out a movie called Left Behind. The ones left behind are going to be the ones that are going to see the reward for the righteous. The ones taken away, they're going to a spiritual, going to another life. And it's a hot one, too. Hotter than fish grease. Won't be here. Many will fall, as Psalms 91 tells us. You're trying to make sure you can see the reward of the righteous. But we will get into it because the dead in Yeshua will rise and partake of this. I mean, we're talking about our prophets in the Tanakh. We're talking about the disciples, all of them that have gone on before us. But we're living in the generation that Enoch spoke of in the first chapter. He said, I'm writing this book for a remote generation.
which is why they try to get rid of Enoch, because it's really for us so that we know about these demons and these frequencies and these jabs and these metals. The fallen angels taught the working of metals, and now we got metals in the jab. This is demon technology. We are that remote generation. You pick up the book of Enoch and read it, especially chapter 10, 15, and 25. Learn it. Be aware of these demons, these frequencies, these metals, artificial intelligence, what's going on. People are going to be taken away quick. And you have to prepare yourself on how to keep your peace and your sanity, not fall into situational depression, and find a secret place. We are combating demoralization by establishing the principles of Yah and learning how to be peace and joy, because we have to follow peace with all men and holiness without. We won't see him. And we have to understand, because I hear great teachings on the indigenous Neanderthals, Satan's seed, the seed of man, Adam and Eve, and fight, but it can also distract you, because at the same time, he said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. He told us, it's a command. He said, when I come, I will separate. And he's going to burn up the tares like chaff. And he's going to tell the wheat, he's going to judge us and say that the ones that did the work can enter into this new kingdom. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And he'll say, how did we do that? Such as you have done unto the least of you, homeless, sleeping in tents, broke, despair, lost the job, sick, you minister to them. When you did that, you did it to me. That's well done. I'm pleased with you. Not only did you keep the commandments, because John, 1 John 2 and 3 and 4 tells us that we hereby do know that we know Yah, if we keep his commandments, because if you say you love him and keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And that takes us quickly to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where he's telling people, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't care what you did. You didn't keep my commandments and take care of my children. He will do the separating. It's great teaching, but we have to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and teach everyone the way. And Yah will have mercy on who he will have mercy on. I'm not the one to make the call to say, you don't deserve it, you ain't getting it. There will be many destroyed. Well, you know what, we're about to read it now. Let's go to the pseudepigrapha. Let's go to Second Baruch. Let's bring some things out. Bring it out, bring it out. Let's bring it out. I want to start with Second Baruch. I'm just going to read. I should be doing a treatise on this chapter. This chapter is incredible. Maybe we'll find another day where we can do a breakdown of this whole chapter, this book, Second Baruch, because it's amazing. But what I'm going to do is, if you're there, let's go to Second Baruch, the 20th chapter. I want to read that. I'm going to do a lot of reading before we get ready to close out. See how much time we got. We got some time for me to read. I'm going to skip some of this. Second Baruch, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 4, is talking about how Zion has been taken away to hasten the advent of the judgment. And it says, therefore, behold, the days come, and the time shall hasten more than the former, and the seasons shall speed on more than those that are past. Is anyone noticing how weeks go by like a day? Is anyone paying attention that we're already moving into the seventh month? And that it seems like this January 6th insurrection crap just happened, or that the pandemic just happened. He's seeing a vision here, Ezra. He said, and the years shall pass more quickly than the present years. Therefore, have I now taken away Zion, that I may the more speedily visit the world in its season. Verse 3, now therefore hold fast in your heart everything that I command you and seal it in the recesses of your mind. And then I will show you the judgment of my might and my ways, which are unsearchable. This is the power of the stolen scrolls, which they are trying to hide from us in books and give it weird names, Apocrypha, Pseudepigrapha, so you'll never pick it up and tell you to only read the 66 books they chose to allow you to read, because they're going to tell you the rest are uninspired. Now you're seeing right now in the book of Baruch that he's speaking to him. You see what he told Daniel, seal up these books until the remote generation, the last days, and now books are coming out the ground, fragments, excavations, artifacts, they're finding scriptures, scrolls, prophecy, history. Did you know every time they find fragments in lost books, they cordon off the area as they bring in the ark, I forgot what you call them, as they bring those people in, they also bring in the FBI, because there's information and history. Let's go to chapter 24, the coming judgment. I, for behold, the days come, and the books shall be opened in which are written the sins of all those who have sinned. And again, also the treasuries in which the righteousness of all those who have been righteous in creation is gathered. For it shall come to pass at that time that you shall see in the many that are with you the long suffering of the Most High, which has been throughout all generations, who has been long suffering towards all who are born alike, those who sin and those who are righteous. And I answered and said, but behold, O Yah, no one knows the number of those things which have passed, or nor yet of those things which are to come. For I know indeed that which has befallen us, but what will happen to our enemies, I know not. And when you will visit your works. Let's go to 25. Signs of the coming judgment. And he answered and said unto me, you too shall be preserved till that time, till that sign which the Most High will work for the inhabitants of the earth in the end of days. This therefore shall be the sign. When, listen closely to verse 3, when a stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the earth. If that has ever happened, it's happening now. Everyone has lost their minds. Their senses don't know where they are. Dementia seems to be on everyone. And this jab is not going to help the brain, because the blood-brain barrier has been penetrated with the PCR test. They reached that sensitive brain thing. They've messed up everybody. They're putting thermometers up to your pineal gland, which is sending a ray through your head. And then these nanoparticles are trying to penetrate up into your neurons and destroy your thought process. And with MK Ultra, cognitive dissonance, frequencies, radiations, and demons, the whole world is in a stupor. A stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the earth, and they shall fall into many tribulations. And again, when they shall fall into great torments, sicknesses, diseases, you're going to get sicker from the jab. It's going to attack your organs, your heart, myocarditis and everything else, and blood clots, heart attacks and strokes and cancers. And it will come to pass when they say in their thoughts, by reason of their much tribulation, the Mighty One doth no longer remember the earth. Yes, it will come to pass when they abandon hope that the time will then awake. My goodness. You cannot tell me that the ones who were scattered because of the false prophets, the false teachings that are in their home, are starting to lose hope and listen to the media and these fake doctors. No confidence, trust, and have lost hope. Let's look at 26. And I answered, Ezra, in the book of Baruch, will that tribulation which is to be continue a long time, and will that necessity embrace many years? I'm not going to get into 27 because that is a whole teaching that would take 2 hours. But verse 20, chapter 27 talks about the 12 woes that are going to come upon the earth during this time. The Messiah, and then into the temporary messianic kingdom. And we know the Messiah is going to come around that time of Armageddon, which is definitely being staged right now. So we'll come back at a later date to chapters 27 and 28 and 29 and 30 that talk about that. What we're going to do now is skip to chapter 44. Let's skip down a little bit. Baruch tells the elders of his impending death, but encourages them to expect the consolation of Zion. I want you to hear this. And I, Baruch, went from thence and came to my people and called my firstborn son and the Gedaliahs, my friends, and seven of the elders of the people. And I said unto them, behold, I go unto my fathers, meaning I'm about to go be with the ancestors, according to the way of all the earth. But withdraw you not from the way of the law. Did you hear that? Because he was their teacher. He said, after I leave, keep the law, but guard and admonish the people which remain, lest they withdraw from the commandments of the Mighty One. My God. This is what is transpiring, because no one wants to teach it. I'm going to keep on teaching it. Verse 4, for you see that he whom we serve is just, and our Creator is no respecter of persons. And ye see what hath befallen Zion, and what hath happened to Jerusalem. For the judgment of the Mighty One shall thereby be made known, and his ways which thought past finding out are right. For if you endure and preserve in his fear, and do not forget his law, the time shall change over you for good. And you shall see the consolation of Zion, because whatever is now is nothing, but that which shall be is very great. That goes coincides with 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. This is a mighty book that they're going to say is obsolete and not inspired. Nor shall there be any remembrance of the present time, which is defiled with evils. Verse 10, for that which runs now runs unto vanity, and that which prospers shall quickly fall and be humiliated. For that which is to be shall be the object of desire, and for that which comes afterwards shall we hope. For it is a time that passes not away, and the hour comes which abides forever. And the new world comes which does not turn to corruption, those who depart to its blessedness, and has no mercy on those who depart to torment, and leads not to perdition those who live in it. For these are they who shall inherit that time which has been spoken of, and theirs is the inheritance of the promised time. These are they who have acquired for themselves treasures of wisdom, and with them are found stores of understanding. And from mercy have they not withdrawn, and the truth of the law I have they preserved. For to them shall be given the world to come, but the dwelling of the rest, who are many, shall be in the fire. My goodness today, let's go to chapter 48, verse 33. This is the prayer of Baruch. You can read the entire prayer. I'm skipping down to verse 33. For there shall not be found many wise at that time, and the intelligent shall be but a few. It's this hour, and we know that that's the truth. People can't even have an intelligent conversation anymore. They're in a fog and in a cloud because they've been set up for mind control. They've been brainwashed through society, radiation, frequencies, demons, jabs, GMOs, lack of nutrition, chemtrails, fluoridated water, poisonous deodorants and lotions, poisons in the fibers of the clothes. You walk in all these stores and they got the triangle up there that telling you that this is, according to the laws of California, that these are, there are cancer-causing chemicals in this zone, in this region. I just wanted to point out verse 33. All of this is wonderful. I'm just doing a quick skip through of what's happening, because my main one is going to be chapter 70 through 74. But let's go to 50 and 2. It says, for the earth shall then assuredly restore the dead, which it now receives, in order to preserve them. It shall make no change in their form, but as it has received, so shall it restore them. And as I delivered them unto it, so also shall it raise them. So those who are going to pass on, those who pass on in Christ, he will raise them up again, and they will be restored, not decayed, not no bones and coming up as zombies. He's going to restore them back to what they were with new bodies, talking about going into the new kingdom. I just wanted to read that to give that hope that we've read about. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and he's going to, they're only in the grave to be preserved. Take hope, people, because many, as was with Noah's parents and grandparents, will be taken away so that they won't have to go through all the tribulation that's coming on this earth. Some of y'all know grandmama and them couldn't survive right now with all this mask wearing, shots, lines, turmoil, lies. They can't go to church, couldn't go to the store. They wouldn't know what to do. Sad to say that a lot of our seniors just don't know how to navigate in this terrain that's coming up with these unintelligent people. I want to give you some more hope, Israel. Let's go to 70. Before we get ready to close out, let's see. There is a prophecy. If I was doing a teaching on all of this, Baruch prayed for an interpretation of his visions. And you really need to pray for interpretations of your visions and dreams. Stop letting other people prophesy to you. But he started talking about the waters, dark waters and the bright waters. But when we start in 70, he said, I hear therefore the interpretation of the last black waters which are to come after the black. This the word, behold, the days come, and it shall be when the time of the age has ripened, and the harvest of its evil and good seed has come, that the mighty one will bring upon the earth and its inhabitants and upon its rulers perturbation of spirit and a stupor of heart, and they shall hate one another and provoke one another to fight, and the mean shall rule over the honorable, and those of low degree shall be extolled above the famous, and the many shall be delivered into the hands of the few. That's that 1% who call themselves the elite. And those who were nothing shall rule over the strong. And the poor, you know, that's what they said about George Floyd. You take one of the biggest, and one of the Willie Lynch things was take the biggest, brightest, and strongest of them and break him, bust him, sodomize him in front of them and constantly show it to them. Let them know, if I did this to them, this is what I'll do to you. This is also one of the reasons why the Catholic Church always uses that cross with a depiction of their Jesus on it, because it's to exploit and put in your face that we got him. It makes you think we can't get you, because it's really about the destruction of Hebrews, Israel, because Psalms 93 tells us that the United Nations, that's what I'm going to call them right now, was confederate against Israel. Psalms 83, it said, keep not thou silence, O Yah, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Yah. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, a great noise, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, Israel, and consulted against thy hidden ones. Not the ones over there acting like us right now. We're hidden still. They're consulting against us in quiet with their race-specific bioweapons. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And in Hebrew, it was Yasharah, Yasharala. It's Israel. That's what it was. Who doesn't have a nation? The indentured servants and slaves that live in these countries that are hated in every country they're in. I digress. Go back to 70 and read this. And the many shall be delivered into the hands of the few. I'm at verse 4. And those who were nothing shall rule over the strong. And the poor shall have abundance beyond the rich. And the impious shall exalt themselves above the heroic. Okay, You have to read the rest of that on your own later. Let's skip to 71. And the Holy Land shall have mercy on its own, and it shall protect its inhabitants at that time. This is talking about Revelations 11, 12, and 9, how we're going into the wilderness. Baruch saw this. This is the vision which you have seen, and this is the interpretation. For I have come to tell you these things because your prayer has been heard with the Most High. 72. Hear now also regarding the bright lightning which is to come at the consummation after these black waters, after this tribulation, this dark time that's going to engulf the land. This is the word. After the signs have come of which you were told before, when the nations become turbulent, the other races, and the time of my Messiah is come, he shall both summon all the nations. This is where he goes into the Valley of Decisions, known as Megiddo, Armageddon, call everybody and plead for his people. He said, every nation which knows not Israel and has not trodden down the seed of Jacob shall indeed be spared. I don't think you got that. Let me reiterate something. Following peace with all men and holiness without, because we don't know who will be spared. But there are races and nations that will be spared because they did not trod down on us. I'll give you an example. Has the island of Fiji, Samoa, Philippines trodden down on us and took us as slaves captives? Even Hitler said America's in trouble because they have God's jewelry. This scripture, Baruch, is prophesying that the nations that have not tried to enslave us and destroy us and was saying, let us go, these are the people that will be spared. I'm going to read it again. 72 and 3. These things, therefore, shall come upon the nations which are to be spared by him. The nations, the race of people, the certain specific people who did not piss on us. Verse 4, every nation which knows not Israel and has not trodden down the seed of Jacob shall indeed be spared. Didn't know we were Hebrews, the real Hebrews, but never did us wrong. Verse 5, and this because some out of every nation, a few, shall be subjected to your people. But all those who have ruled over you and have known who you was while they were doing it, according to Psalms 83, shall be given up to the sword. My God, people. Chapter 73, verse 1. And it shall come to pass when he has brought low everything that is in the world, decimation, consummation, and has sat down in peace for the age on the throne of his kingdom, talking about Yeshua, that joy shall then be revealed, and rest shall appear. We got to go through it, family. What's coming on this world? And it's about to turn up, and there's no going back. They're not going to waste a good crisis. Verse 2, and then healing, after our Messiah sits on his throne, healing shall descend in dew, and disease shall withdraw. And anxiety, that's all that PTSD, situational depression, illusory, cognitive dissonance, MKUltra, fear. Then anxiety and anguish and lamentation pass from amongst men, and gladness proceed through the whole earth. And no one shall again die untimely, nor shall we eternal life, people, no more death, nor shall any adversity suddenly befall. And he's sparing Israel. There's only going to be a few people from the other nations that are going to survive. And what's being made clear here, you're going to see it, is that they will be amongst themselves in their own land and shall live peaceably and learn the ways of Israel. They will have to come up for the holy days, Feast of Tabernacles. They're not going into that gate to that kingdom. That's designed for the 12 tribes. But they will live peaceably in a land amongst themselves and not with us. Because we're getting the kingdom and the kingship. will be governors and presidents, priests, mayors over the new earth, which is the 144,000, these saviors. They'll be your prime ministers and your kings. What did I leave off at? Verse 4. Nor shall any adversity suddenly befall, and judgments and abusive talk. See, you're not supposed to be cussing and talking about I'm going to cuss somebody out and being contentious with people and ready to fight revenges and blood and passions. You put that nicely. He's talking about lust. Everybody lusting for something, wanting to go to bed with something. Envy and hatred and whatsoever things are like these shall go into condemnation when they are removed. Those are demons and spirits. They will be condemned and they will be removed. You will not even feel these feelings that you fight against every day, the temptations. This is why we say, lead us not into temptation when we say Yah's prayer to our Father. Because every day we have to contend with these things and they are going to be removed from us. You won't feel the anxiety and the pains. Verse 5, for it is these very things which have filled this world with evil. And on account of these, the life of man has been greatly troubled. And listen to this. And wild beasts shall come from the forest and minister to us. The lions and the tigers, you won't be running from them and trying to kill them. These animals are conflicted right now because they can sense the turbulence and the unrest and what's going on in this earth. Had like 20 cows running through a neighborhood. They escaped a slaughterhouse. That trips me out. I don't understand that for the life of me. They were trying to save their own lives. It says, the ass and the dragons, snakes, shall come forth from their holes to submit themselves to a child. Can you imagine a python coming up to your child and you don't have to go run and save him anymore? And women shall no longer then have pain when they bear. Did you see verse 7 saying that? Yes. Women will still be having children. You've been taught so many lies in the Christian church. In the new kingdom with eternal life, women shall no longer then have pain when they bear. Nor shall they suffer torment when they yield the fruit of the womb. That's talking about when they have their cycle. No more pains with the cycle. It'll go back to being called flowers. Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, called a woman's menstrual cycle, her flowers coming forth. It smelled like a bloom. Not as corrupt as it is now and a just tragic thing and menopause and all the other things that come with that. That's not going to be a part of it. Chapter 74, verse 1. And it shall come to pass in those days that the reapers shall not grow weary, nor those that build be toil-worn, not going to get tired. For the works shall of themselves speedily advance. That's because we're going to rebuild, restructure our inhabitants for our eternal life, together with those who do. See, we were created for this earth. And then in Christian church, you were taught that you're going somewhere way up there, streets of gold. No. You're on this earth. The dead are in the earth. Sheol is in the earth. The kingdom, Jerusalem, Zion will be on the earth. There will be only a few that will be able to go into the Holy of Holies and go before his presence, even though we'll know him, we'll see him, but that will have constant audience with him. You know, people are going to get different rewards and crowns, but I digress. Together with those who do them in much tranquility. For that time is the consummation of that which is corruptible, meaning it will be consumed, things that die, no more expiration dates. And this is the beginning of that which is not corruptible, eternal life. Therefore, those things which were predicted shall belong to it, the prophecies of the Tanakh, everything in these scriptures will come back into fruition, what we lost with Adam and Eve. Therefore, it is far away from evils and near to those things which die not. This is the bright lightning which came after the last of the dark waters. These are some glorious scriptures. I go back to 74 also. 72 and 3. These things, therefore, shall come upon the nations which are to be spared by him. So there will be a few spare, but they're described, the ones that have not trodden down on us, shot us in the backs, called us all kind of bywords, did things behind our backs, knew who we were as a people. I see a few of them on YouTube. They know. But they're not going to be teaching us. See, when you understand that it says that they'll be in their own land, they're not going to be teaching us. No. Our job is to teach them the oracles. And the scripture tells us they're going to grab our fringes, the hem of our garments, and say, take us with you to the kingdom. When it's time for us to have our holy days, they must come, be a part, and learn. Let me see if I can find that scripture real quick. It says, you'll find that in Deuteronomy 32 and 8, 2nd Baruch. We're covering that right now. Zechariah 14, 16 through 21. Zechariah 8 and 23. Isaiah 14, 1 through 3. Isaiah 69 through 12. All of these scriptures are saying the Gentiles that are spared will serve under a righteous kingdom, us, Israel. And they will be taught by Israel how to be righteous and live peaceful in their own land among their own kind. Be no more blending in. We're teaching you how to be righteous. And we're doing the work now. Oh, boy, I really want to go into all that, but that's, you know, that's my time. Those are other lessons that can be taught. I hope you got all those scriptures and you can do a study when we get off here on what I just mentioned. Learn more about the Gentiles, but now we see the key scripture in 2 Baruch that just a few of them are going to be spared to where we're going. There's a lot of stuff coming up, people. Enoch, Baruch, all these people prophesied about us during this time. Now, I need you to imagine the mindset of seeing this in a vision. And you living in times where there's chariots, they've seen ships. Ezekiel talked about the ships in the air and the sky, but there were no automobiles and cell phones. And so can you imagine Enoch and Baruch and Esdras and Daniel and them seeing visions of this time, and they're trying to describe it? So how would they describe it to the best of their ability of things that were tangible in their era and their time? And that's how you'll have to look at Bible prophecy and understand they're given a description of what they were seeing to the best of their ability. An F-15 fighter jet they saw, they fire in the sky and flames. You have to understand metaphors, allegories, parables. Only the Spirit can reveal this to you. So you must study to show yourself approved, and don't let man keep you out of the books, because they belong to a holy people, our people. All praises to the Most High. I'm going to close out by saying what I always say, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Don't give in to the fear, people. And if you've already made a mistake, I'm going to pray for you. You pray for yourself. Might be some things you can do. I'm starting to hear there's technology that might be released, but eventually I'm like these people, never let a good crisis waste. I don't want to go back to normalcy and have to start back over. I'm looking for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. I'm not trying to hurry up this dark day, because it's not going to be nice. And scripture says that the righteous are scarcely going to make it in. That means you got to drop dead and die with Christ. Stop trying to save your life. We got to let it happen. It's going to happen. All you can do is observe it. Find joy amongst your family and your relationships. I'm sure all of you all circles are getting smaller. Don't panic and worry about that. The Most High knows what's happening, who's in control, and he's the only one that can save anyway. All we can do is plant and water, and he gives the increase. So tough times, tribulatory times, but don't be distracted. Don't be demoralized. Don't fall into depression. Do what you got to do to keep yourself in these laws, commandments, and in the assurance and the hope of the Holy Scriptures during this great awakening as we prepare. I'm Peter Preacher. Shabbat Shalom, peace and blessings.